Welcome back to the Dr. Tree Fruit and Dawn podcast. It is April 18th, 2024, and I am Dr. Carrie Peter, flying solo today as your host, as my co-host and producer, Dawn Seifert, is on paternity leave for a few weeks. So right now, there's a lot of action going out there in the orchards in Pennsylvania. And so today, for updates, we have Dr. Sean Kumar and Dr. Greg Krofcheck to give pertinent horticultural and pertinent insect updates, and we'll also have some disease updates as well. So without further ado, let's find out, where are the trees phenologically in Pennsylvania? Sean, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Carrie. I guess I'll get started with Southern Pennsylvania, which is always ahead of the rest of the state. So at Freck in Biglerville, last week we had the Pink Ladies open, and over the weekend they were almost at full bloom. Weekend Monday, they were the early varieties. And then when you look at Fuji, Gala, and Honeycrisp, the weather was very warm this week. We were in the upper 70s, and they were very quick from opening up to, we had about 5-10% bloom on Monday, Tuesday, and then that became almost full bloom on Wednesday. So we are at full bloom now in Freck for the most popular varieties, Fuji, Gala, Honeycrisp, Premier Honeycrisp. And if you look a little bit north at Southeast Pennsylvania, where Don Seifert does regular bloom phenological measurements, we are a few days behind that set. I know that in central Pennsylvania, Rock Springs, we are about a week behind southern Pennsylvania, at least, where we are for Gala, Fuji, Honeycrisp, we are at pink. And for early varieties such as Pink Lady, we are at about 25 to 50% bloom. And if you want to look further ahead north in Erie and places like that, we are somewhere between tight cluster, early pink, for those areas for different varieties. And I also wanted to talk about bloom thinning or blossom thinning. So over the current week, on Monday, Tuesday, earlier this week, it was ripe for blossom thinning with caustic blossom thinners such as lime sulfur, which is the only approved product for blossom thinning in Pennsylvania for apples. So in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we had good weather for blossom thinning. So usually with lime sulfur, we go in and do blossom thinning at about 20 to 30% bloom. The first spray that we do, usually the rates are 2% lime sulfur and 2% oil. It can be any oil like dormant petroleum oil, or it can be stylet oil is what we use for blossom thinning in Freck. And some growers also prefer to use ATS. Now, I would want to say that ATS is not registered as a bloom thinner in Pennsylvania, ammonium thiosulfate. However, it is registered as, you know, for spraying for nutrients, nutrition in during bloom. So growers use that also for, it has an additional benefit for blossom thinning. And there are a few growers around the state who are using ATS for bloom thinning. Similarly, ATS you spray using the at 20 to 30% bloom, the first spray, and then at 80 to 90%, sometimes even 70 to 80%, anywhere around that time, you go and do a second spray of lime sulfur and oil or ATS. If you do use ATS, ATS is supposed to be used separately without oil. So oil only exacerbates the damage. Another warning for growers who are using ATS is ATS does have a lot of phyto effects. So if you're fine with, they might not be permanent, they're temporary, of course, but you will see some phyto effects from ATS and a little bit less so with lime sulfur as well. Both are blossom thinners. And yeah, that's my update.
All right, great. And then just as also a note for the listeners is that, so this at bloom time, this is an opportunity to be able to thin out the crop as far as crop load management, but there will be additional times later on, correct, with other chemicals that you can use to thin. And we'll talk about that when it comes time. But I just want to make sure folks know, like, this isn't the this is just one of several times that you'll be able to thin or basically thin your crop.
Yep, thanks for that, Carrie. Yes, of course. This is just the first line in, we call it a nibble thinning approach, where we try to take out a little bit during bloom, and then it's much easier for thinning out the stuff, especially if you have thinning weather like last year, where we did not have good thinning weather during the main regular thinning window of from 8 to about 12 millimeters in when the fruitlets are 8 to 12 millimeters. That's like the major thinning window. We didn't have warm enough weathers for that. It was very very cool, and because of that, there was not a carbohydrate deficit, and so we didn't get much thinning. And so because of that, we had high crop loads, especially in varieties like Gala, where sizing was a big issue last year. So that is why I've talked to a few growers already, but bloom thinning is something that a lot more growers are trying out this year because of what we had last year. And I would recommend that for growers around the state in order to get a head start on thinning for 2024. Overall, based on what we've seen in Freck and Rock Springs, we see a normal fruit set for this year. When I say normal, of course, it comes with the caveat with weather and all of that. We might get a frost. Another warning about for peaches, we are expecting frost during the coming weekend on Saturday and Sunday in different parts of the state. So keep an eye out for that, and whatever measures you do, with whether it be irrigation lines or some growers also do small fires and things like that. Just be on alert for frost during the weekend.
Great, thanks. Yeah, so that's an important note. So if you are in that affected area, well, just keep an eye on things and be on alert. Thank you so much, Sean. That was excellent. So transitioning now from bloom to bloom diseases such as fire blight, this is a crazy week for those of you who are experiencing bloom, and which is a good chunk of the state. As you mentioned, Sean, you're in very early bloom up there in Rock Springs, but down here, this in Adams County, Franklin County, York, Cumberland, the South Central area, and even over into the Lancaster area, this is a tough week. So now that we are getting closer to the end of the week, sort of seeing how the conditions have settled out. And so I have seen, according to the models and how everything has settled, we definitely had a fire blight infection event on the 15th and definitely on the 17th. And then there's one today for some folks, depending on how warm it got, or how warm it is getting for you today. So just to quickly review for folks who might be a little on edge with this, with regards to the fire blight infection conditions. You need four things. Just as a reminder, I said this on Monday, you need basically four components to assess for risk when we're calculating the risk for fire blight. And when calculating risk, we're predominantly using the Mary Blight model, and we're calculating the epiphytic infection potential, which is a percent. And so that epiphytic infection potential takes into consideration that the flowers must be open, number one. There needs to be an accumulation of at least 198 degree hours above 65 degrees. You need a wetting event like dew or rain. And then you also need an average daily temperature of 60 degrees. And so we have met that down here in the southern half of the state this week more than once. So oftentimes I get the question, well, I sprayed for strep, or I sprayed streptomycin on my trees yesterday and it rained today. Do I need to go back out and apply streptomycin again? So, and the answer is no, you don't. So just as a reminder of how your blossom protection works again, because it bears worth repeating again. So when you have your open blossom that has the bacteria on the stigma, it's replicating like crazy on the stigma of the flower. When that streptomycin spray comes in, it is killing that bacteria on the stigma and killing any other bacteria, any other Erwinia bacteria that could be in the blossom. So by doing that, you're resetting the clock. You're resetting that clock to zero. So if the epiphytic infection potential may have been like 125, Well, it'll go down to zero now, as far as the percent risk of that chance for fire blight infection. So to answer the question is that in that moment in time, you're killing whatever is in those open blossoms in that moment of time, and you're resetting the clock to zero. So the answer is no. If it rains the next day, you don't have to worry because you've already done what you needed to do to protect your blossoms. And so here at Freck, we sprayed over a period of a few days because there was lots of different blocks with open blossoms, and we staggered it. So, and by plugging in when we sprayed strep into the model, it reset the clock to zero. So come today, everything was covered up. I wasn't worried about the conditions today because we already got that spray on to kill the bacteria, and we were good to go. So, especially with the temperatures being ideal but not too extreme, it wasn't necessary to apply another streptomycin spray this week, especially if you had all your blossoms were opened this week and you got a strep spray on. Now, the risk you may encounter the risk is, say, if you only had, say, 50% of your blossoms open, and then you have more blossoms open over time. So this is when you do need to worry about reapplying streptomycin at a later date. Doesn't need to be the next day or 2 days, but definitely, a few days later, say 5 days later, if your blossoms are still open, you have more blossoms open, you'd want to apply another streptomycin spray. This will be important for right now with regards to the southern half of the state because I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to have a protracted bloom. So we're at full bloom, but I don't think it's going to be over for a little while. And so this is where we run into trouble with regards to sneak attacks by Erwinia, I would say. So to the listeners, if you sprayed streptomycin this week, fantastic. You should be good to go. But come Monday, looking at the long range forecast, if you still have open blooms, I probably want to, and it's calling for warm weather next week again. It's going to be moderate weather again in the low 70s, upper 60s throughout the whole week. You may want to put on another application of streptomycin to clean things up again because it's during these years with protracted bloom when we have these nice, ideal, mild conditions that sort of allows the blossom to hang on forever, and we can sort of get caught in trouble with that. So just as a reminder of that. So for folks who sprayed their streptomycin this week, fantastic. If you sprayed an alternative chemical, say Blossom Protect or lime sulfur that Sean had mentioned. So if you were spraying lime sulfur, fantastic to help blossom thin, because that's another layer of a protection of being able to kill that bacteria in those blossoms. So you're getting a lot of bang for your buck with those lime sulfur sprays right now because it's also going to act as a bactericide to clean up the blossoms. If you're using Blossom Protect, this is an organic treatment, it's a living yeast. You are going to be needing to reapply it as your blossoms open. So if you didn't apply it at full bloom, you're going to be needing to apply it again soon in order to get those blossoms protected, especially with the conditions that possibly could be in the forecast, or I should say that likely are in the forecast in the coming week. But that is a reminder for these organic products is that you do need to apply them a little more frequently, just because they aren't as robust as streptomycin. They do an okay job, but we have not found an equivalent to streptomycin. So you will be wanting just a smidge more frequency and then be really more mindful of how many blossoms are open, what has opened. So that is the story for fire blight. With regards to apple scab, we're right in the middle of peak apple scab right now, as far as the maximum number of overwintering spores that mature spores that are available in those overwintering leaves. We've got great conditions. Apple scab infection, it seemed like I think it's been triggered almost every day this week. So hopefully folks have tank mixed good fungicides in their spray along with their streptomycin spray this week. So at this time point, I want folks to be looking at the Frac 7. So anything with a Frac 7, they're the strongest products against scab right now, especially when we've got the ideal conditions for apple scab. So this, ideal conditions, plus a lot of spores equals high disease pressure. So if you've got if you are managing organically, if you don't have scab resistant varieties, you want to be leaning on sulfur or some or potassium bicarbonate. Those are your two best options for apple scab. And as far as stone fruit, my goodness, it's just like when we've got ideal conditions, everything has to be on alert. Cherries are in blossom. We still have some peaches that are in blossom. Brown rot, blossom blight is still at risk. So make sure you have, your blossoms are covered up. And so, yes. So I think, so right now, I think the only disease you don't have to worry about is powdery mildew because it's been so wet. But as far as really what diseases should be on your mind right now are fire blight, apple scab, and of course, rust. I always forget to mention rust. But if you're tank mixing with mancozeb, rust usually isn't a problem. And then finally, the brown rot blossom blight. So those are your three big issues that you need to be thinking about right now. So with that is it for my disease spiel. I'm going to turn things over to Greg to talk about the wonderful world of insects and what people should be thinking about right now.
Well, they should be thinking that it's bloom. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for having me again here. Well, Kelly talked about the mixture in the tank and so on. I mean, please do not add any insecticides to the tank at the moment. Let's give the bees that you either rented from someone and brought to your orchard, or you have your own, or you are relying on the native pollinators. Just please don't use any insecticides when the trees are in bloom. It's very important, and not only for this year, for the health of the colony, but also for the future. And that's about apples. But saying this, on peaches, at least in our Biglerville area, southern PA, we are at petal fall, and we are catching Plum curculio in the traps. You have to understand that we always recommend controlling Plum curculio just at petal fall, and you usually think about apples. However, peaches are usually finishing their bloom much earlier, and Plum curculio are already in the orchards. We got them in the traps. Again, your pressure might be lower. However, if you had any issues with the Plum curculio in the past on peaches, and you don't want to have those cut-facing fruit to see them later in the season, you probably should spray insecticides on your peach blocks to at least provide the initial protection from Plum curculio. The issue on stone fruit with Plum curculio is that we kind of calculate the development, and the models that we're using for Plum curculio are based on the apple development. And this model does not start until, well, does not end the period where curculio can cause the damage until about 2, 3 weeks after the bloom of Macintosh. That's the model that was developed originally at Cornell. They're talking about 300 something degree days at base 50. But the starting point is basically when the fruit are present on the trees. And with the stone fruit, well, that's the only fruit that Plum curculio have right now. And if the weather is good, and the good weather is, humid 60 plus, 65 and above, that's the perfect weather for curculio. And if your block is next to the woods, that's where curculio over winter, just take care of it. How you can take care of it? Well, there is nothing really that will work from the organic perspective. Surround might be some option, maybe surround mix with the organic pyrethrin. But in commercial orchards, application of Avant or Azale should help control Plum curculio on peaches. Azale also will help you with controlling aphids, which theoretically should be controlled not now, about 2, 3 weeks from now, but they are hatching. And if you use Azale at least once, you should not have a problem with the green peach aphids on your trees. Avant won't do anything against aphids, but it's a good curculio material. With both of those products, you can't really expect them to work too long. The fruit are growing very fast right now, and probably you can't expect longer residual than 9, 10 days maximum. And a lot of this is weather dependent and how fast the fruit are growing and how fast curculio will be moving to the blocks. But this is something to think about right now. Another insect that is actually flying, and we have seen numbers that I could not believe. We already have traps that caught more than 100 oriental fruit moth in few nights. It wasn't even a week. So OFM is very active. However, you know, it is active in apples, it is active in peaches. At this time of the year, of the season, oriental fruit moth is mostly attracted to growing shoots, to growing terminals. So it's not about protecting fruit from oriental fruit moth as reducing the population of oriental fruit moth, so they are not going after the fruit later during the season when we go into second, third, or even fourth generation. So again, Azale and Avant will also control oriental fruit moth on peaches, so you don't really need to worry about it. On apples, well, we have to wait until petal fall. And Kerry mentioned this, and looking at the forecast, I won't be surprised if 2 weeks from now we still have trees in bloom, because we're not gonna have those 80 degrees and heavy rain that will drop the blossom down. So do not control insect when the flowers are open. And this is, again, everything about pollinators. And even if we miss something, well, there's always opportunity to control it later in the season. The early season injury or peaches or apples, well, they can be thinned out when you do the hand thinning on some varieties, or they can be lowered when the next generation is coming. One thing to get ready for, and this is for apple, that cannot be controlled at any other time, is European apple soft life. If in the past you experience heavy infestation of European apple soft life, make sure that your petal fall on apples, and it might even vary by cultivar, but that is applied as soon as possible, as soon as the trees are at real petal fall. I don't know how to define real petal fall. There always will be some stragglers, but I would say maybe Sean can help me. But you know, when you know that bees should not be there, or at least you removed all the bees that you brought from the outside to your orchard, and European apple sawfly is flying during the bloom. They lay eggs during the bloom, and the eggs hatch just at petal fall. That's why this spray is the only spray we have and the only timing we have. Again, Avant and Azale would be a good option here. In organic orchards, most likely natural pyrethrum. There is nothing else, Pyjanic, Azera, stuff like this for the organic growers. So that's really the this week update. You know, depends how fast we go with the weather, with the bloom, when the petal fall will happen. There will be a lot of more to talk for the petal fall application, but I hope this will be covered in our next podcast if Kerry will still agree to provide us with such a great lead for this. Thank you, Kerry.
Thanks, Greg. Well, hey, I just want to let Don know I am just keeping the seat warm for him. I can't wait for him to come back. But yes, so thank you to Greg and Sean for those awesome updates. So folks have a lot to think about, a lot to chew on. We're in, this is spring, Mother Nature, she's fickle. So, you know, she was trying to figure out if she was coming or going, and I guess she is finally coming now. So, we'll, so that is the update for the week, another update for the week for folks. So that wraps things up. So, as Don always concludes, say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Talk
Goodbye.
to you
later.
Yeah, see you later. Thanks for listening.